Right, you're welcome back to the programme. I'm joined in it now by, by Eimear Shovlin, a marine scientist from Donegal. Good morning, Eimear.
Hello.
Thanks for calling in. We sit you straight down, straight on the mic. No time to prepare. How are you keeping?
Yeah, great. Thanks.
How did you become a marine scientist?
Well, it all started in Donegal Bay. So my home is St. John's Point. So I was reared in the ocean and reared at the beach. And that sparked a big curiosity in me, and then I started watching documentaries, especially David Attenborough, and then that was me hooked. I had to keep learning, and it led me to study marine science.
Brilliant stuff. So and that seed was planted really early on. And when was it, because of maybe you wanted to understand more of the sea? Was it about protecting the marine sector, or, you know, what was the sort of sub motivation there?
A bit of both. Like, you know, growing up in St. John's Point at the beach, like, I've experienced such wonderful things in nature. You know, I remember often the fish, the sprat will come into the bay and it would just turn the whole beach black. And then a couple of days later, you'd have the mackerel coming in. And I remember this so, so well. And then, you know, over time, those things were less common. So, you know, I've definitely seen a change in the local environment.
Yeah, I remember that too, the shoulder sprat, but there was also a smaller fish that you used to see around Mount Charles Pier, Mullinsole Pier, can't remember what it's called, maybe worse sprat, smaller sprat. But anyway, you just don't see that anymore. You'd see like thousands of these things surrounding the pier, and then you knew the mackerel were effectively on the way.
Yeah.
There must have been sprat, of course there was sprat. Now, you have been speaking about sharks, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, I've done this conversation before with somebody else, and it's the bad press that sharks get, because there's something about sharks that if someone very unfortunately is attacked by a shark in a beach in Australia, it becomes news here.
Yeah.
Right? And it's one shark. So I don't know what it is. There's certain stories, right, that are instantly thrust into the headlines. And was that part of you maybe trying to rehabilitate the humble shark?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I actually lived in Australia for a while, so I used to see a lot of the broadcasts and on the news there of killer shark. And, you know, it just really put fear into everybody. And then that fear reached, obviously,
and
here.
This all can be linked back to Jaws,
and
the movie.
Yeah, definitely. So that's 50 years since that movie was released, and people still have that fear. Mm. But what I speak about is to try and get people to understand that, you know, sharks aren't something to be feared, but we actually need them for a healthy ocean and a healthy planet. They're critical in ocean ecosystems.
Mm. Tell us about the role of a shark then in the ecosystem.
Yeah, so if you take reef sharks, for example, they regulate the reef. So they keep the mid-level predators in check. If you remove those sharks, then mid-level predators can eat small fish that would normally keep algae in check, for example. So if you don't have them small fish to keep algae in check, that whole reef can be smothered and then die. So then that affects, you know, local fisheries, the economy, obviously,
so
other biodiversity.
Reefs, I'm instantly thinking of the, you know, the Barrier Reef. But do we have reefs?
Yeah, well, we would have kind of cold water reefs.
Right, okay. So, but there is still an ecosystem that's important. But my image of what we're talking about in terms of reefs, accurate enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, generally speaking. What the greatest threat to sharks are humans, though.
Yeah, so it's crazy because sharks have survived 5 mass extinctions. They have been around for over 400 million years. And within, you know, since the 1970s, really, we have decimated them, you know, and we're either targeted them as a shark fishery, where we sell shark products, shark fins, shark oil.
I just find that crazy. I know some of it's cultural, right? And I'm, you know, don't want to walk on eggshells, but, you know, destroying an entire animal for a fin or something is just...
Yeah. And there's other markets within shark products that a lot of people didn't know about or don't know about. Me included, until I started doing some research. You know, what you can find now is, you know, shark cartilage, which is the skeleton structure of a shark that is grounded down into pills and marketed as a cure for arthritis, even though there's little scientific evidence to back that. So there's a whole market around shark products. But yeah, humans have just decimated shark populations all around the world.
And the scale of it is unbelievable. I mean, if you were a conspiracy theorist, you could almost argue that the likes of the Jaws film was the pathway to sort of open season on sharks. Now, I know it's not right, but if you were a conspiracy theorist, it's a rabbit hole you could go down. Because, you know, we can go back to the early 70s to now, and the amount of sharks that have been killed, i.e. killed by us, is astronomical. It's 100 million or something in that region.
Yeah, over 100 million a year is the estimation. And, you know, that's a rough estimation. I would say there's a lot more. And, you know, as we get rid of, you know, take away the coastal sharks, we're starting to see boats that are looking for deep sea sharks to supply this market for, let it be, you know, shark squalling, which is sometimes used in the cosmetics industry, or for the shark cartilage or shark meat.
Mm.
So, you know, sometimes it's easy to point a finger maybe at Asia for the shark fin.
No, I understand, yeah.
But it is a global problem.
Yeah, and if you were, I'm not asking you to name them now, if you had them in your head, you can, but, you know, there probably are products that we're consuming or using, I don't mean eating, consuming and using and what have you, that are derivatives of this industry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was a recent paper that they found a critically endangered hammerhead shark was ending up in the food chain in supermarkets in America.
Crazy.
You know, it can be labelled sometimes as shark, as generic, or else it can be mislabeled as things like flake or rock salmon. So consumers don't know what they're eating sometimes, and it's a problem.
I would say your average Joe probably could name 3 or 4 or 5 sharks, you know, types of shark, right? But I mean, I presume there are, well, I know there are multiple species. I mean, are species of shark going extinct? You know, because we use the catch-all of shark, but you mentioned the hammerhead and the great white and this, that and then, right? So, you know, I presume there are shark stocks that are being completely depleted.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so far, from what they know, there's over 500 different species of shark.
Yeah.
And there are some that are critically endangered, like your hammerhead shark, your oceanic white tip. You know, a lot of oceanic sharks that have the big, big fins are, you know, prime catch for the shark fin industry. So they've been decimated. Oceanic shark populations have decimated 70% since the 1970s. Mm. So yeah, there's a huge problem with many populations.
And the fascinating shark is the Greenland shark, because there's a very strong argument that it actually doesn't age. So if it's not killed or doesn't have an accident or doesn't get diseased, these things can live for hundreds and hundreds of years. They do not age in any traditional sense. I shouldn't say that because people start trying to harvest them or something. But sharks are fascinating, and it is, as far as I'm aware, one of the only animals or mammals on the world that theoretically doesn't actually age.
Yeah, they're the longest living vertebrate that we know of, and they can live so far over 400 million or 400 years.
Naturally or age related that they die of, as far as I can determine.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on
you can
that,
see I went down the Greenland shark route. Okay,
yeah.
There's 500 species, and I know about one.
Yeah, and
I just think it's blooming remarkable. They are remarkable. So, I mean, is it really like what it says in the tin, not monsters but masterpieces, that really was the point you wanted to get through in your TEDx talk? Did you enjoy that, by the way?
Yeah, I loved it.
I did a TEDx talk once and I was not blooming comfortable doing it, but anyway.
Yeah, I actually had to do a bit of public speaking a few months before and I was a nervous wreck and I was like,
Did you imagine everyone nude? Someone said that to me once. I'm like, what? No.
But I kind of wanted to learn how to public speak to get the message across, and a friend recommended that I applied for this and I got it. And it was a perfect opportunity for me to share my experience with sharks, because when I first went travelling, I volunteered doing shark conservation in Fiji. And it was my kind of first experience diving with tiger sharks and bull sharks, you know, headline making type of sharks.
Yeah.
And once you seen them when you were down underwater, it was just phenomenal. Like, they just blew my mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of seen them as curious, and their intelligence came across when you were diving with them, and just phenomenal creatures, you know, and it really, really changed.
Because we're delivered a vision of them, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's the eye, and it's the teeth, and it's the fin, and it's the everything else like that there. Where do you do your business out of, Emma? Are you based anywhere, or you're freelancing in this space, or what? Are you associated with a business, not a business, or?
Yeah, so at the minute I'm kind of doing my own independent research. Brilliant. To try and develop a company that kind of would help bring investment to restore nature.
Fantastic.
In blue carbon space particularly. So it's early days, but that's what I'm working on.
That's your project. Fantastic. And TEDx talks are often recorded. So is this TEDx available for people to watch?
Yeah, so...
Can we link it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It'll be out now Wednesday or Thursday. So we've no definite time.
I was hoping to go and look at that. Right, but this week, hopefully.
This week, yeah.
And I suppose, too, firstly, I think we need to understand, like, that we are... It's our impact on their environment, right? Mm. So if a shark does attack someone, it's us in their space, right, effectively. Look what we did on land with wolves, you know, to a point whereby we decimated this island to the point that they couldn't actually even function on the island anymore because we have destroyed it to the extent that we have. We don't want to do this to the sea. And as you've pointed out, you know, the population of sharks, its reduction in and of itself, obviously, is tragic, but the ramifications of that go far beyond the one species.
Far beyond. You know, it will affect everyone globally if we let these species disappear. We actually depend on them for a healthy ocean ecosystem and a healthy planet.
Right, what sharks are off our coast now? Just briefly,
There's actually over 40 species of shark off the Irish coast.
Mm-hmm.
The most popular one would be the basking shark. So it actually received full legal protection in 2022.
And it is... it doesn't eat meat, it's plankton and stuff, is it?
Yeah, plankton filter feeder, yeah. And they're the second largest on Earth.
I was gonna say, have you ever seen one of them in the flesh?
I have, yeah. Yeah, a couple of times. I've seen them when growing up. It was a dead one because it got caught in a net when I was really young. And then I seen one alive down in Achill Island, and that was really, really cool.
Right, do we have? So the basking obviously is the big boy.
You would have your dogfish. You would have blue
shark. So dogfish or sharks?
Dogfish or sharks, yeah.
I heard that back in the... Actually, I won't say it, their skin used to be used as sandpaper, which is horrendous, I suppose.
Yeah, their skin, it's made up of denticles, so it is like sandpaper, but it helps them move through the water really easily.
They're quite common, so even people fishing for mackerel or pollock might have come across a dogfish, right?
Yeah, and then the blue shark would be around Ireland, but they're very rare now. Yeah. You know, same thing, they've just been overfished. And
really,
killed.
Is that
yeah,
it? Yeah,
yeah. So
because,
be
you know... The fishing factories that are off our coast, they're so indiscriminate, you know, and we don't really know what's going on. Like, we fuss about, you know, one boat of a certain type of fish in Killybegs, and it's people have dragged through the courts for a decade. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be oversight in that area, but at the same time, you go out, you know, a few nautical miles, and there are these ships that just, they're sucking everything up.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything up. You know, you can have a conversation about whether fishing is right or wrong, you know, scientifically responsible in terms of stocks and all that kind of stuff. But the way these massive factories, the way they tow their nets, they're getting everything, like. And we have to trust, because there's no enforcement, we have to trust that they aren't killing hundreds of shark per sweep or whatever, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah, bycatch is a massive problem for a lot of species, a lot of different species as well. So, but the fishing industry, yeah, it's a tricky one, you know, because, I mean, definitely with sharks, there's not enough regulation around the shark fishery.
No, we don't know what's going on.
And there's definitely no transparency.
There's zero regulation, because the boats that are fishing out there aren't even fishing under EU maritime laws or whatever. It's literally a free-for-all.
Yeah, and a lot of these ships go to different countries and decimate their ecosystems that
and if
local
certain,
small communities depend on.
If certain sharks of a certain value, for instance, on certain markets are caught, are they returned? Are they not? Are they stored? You know, you just don't know. It's really quite worrying. Emer, you might, if you can, just let one of the production team know when your TED Talk is up.
Yeah,
because
no
we'd
bother.
Love to share it on our socials, especially off the back of this conversation.
Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting and important area that you've gone into. And it's great
you're
from here. And it's great how that seed was planted from your time on beautiful St. John's Point.
Yeah.
Emer Shovlin, anything else you want to add?
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, okay, no problem. That's Emer Shovlin, marine scientist from Donegal. And as I say, stay tuned to our socials, or where will you be posting it? On your own socials, Emer?
On LinkedIn and Instagram.
Just search Emer Shovlin.
Yeah.
Joined in studio by Donegal Youth Council Mayor Cassie Lamb. Good morning, Cassie. Good to see you again. It's been a while.
Yes, good morning, Greg.
How's life?
Oh, good. Busy.
What year are you in now?
Fifth year.
Okay,
fifth
cool.
Year, yeah.
And Deputy Mayor Brigine Bonner. Good morning. Bonner. Good morning to you, Brigine. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good to have you with us. Right, I'll start with you, Cassie, because the Youth Council has unveiled two new resources, and this is with a view to helping students say no to vaping and feel more confident in their education journey. So we'll start with the... why the focus on vaping?
Okay, so at our AGMs, we have young people across Donegal vote on topics, and one of the major topics that really came up for us, I think it was vaping, was a massive one anyways, and so we began to work on it ourselves. Is that the last term they really did work a lot more on it, and we were really concentrating on the toolkit, but again we were concentrating on vaping, and the girls from last year, they put in such work into two vaping graphics that were just put out at our AGM there recently, and it's really incredible to have such a resource that two youth councils actually worked on. So it was a really special occasion for us to put them out at our AGM this year.
Yeah, I think it's great that yous are doing that, right? Because, I mean, obviously the government's working on legislation to ban single-use vapes. But listen, there are adults who switched for a time from smoking to vaping. And in terms of, you know, the proportionate risk and what have you, there's a reason potentially they're not encouraging it. But to see young people becoming addicted to nicotine that have never smoked and then to start smoking... it's crazy, and these things are freely available wherever you go. So anything we can do to discourage that, because once you're on it, it's blooming tough to get off it.
Yeah, but it's a huge thing that we got to work on that. So it's really great that even young people came out and spoke that this is an issue we wanted to work on.
Yeah, and Brigine, the area in which this is about educational journeys, this is the document I have in front of me here, is it? Is that the, what's this here? No? Is that it? No?
Yeah.
What is that? It is?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
This is very useful, very easy to access. What was the thinking behind this, Brigine?
Well, basically, we want to try alleviate the stress that students face around trying to learn how to study. And then whenever we were thinking about that, we thought about how another like source of stress comes from not knowing what you want to do after or how to...
Because everyone asks, I'm guilty of asking this question all the time, what do you want to do when you leave school? Right? It's a tough question, you know, but you need to be thinking about that, do you, during your education? So you're choosing subjects or what have you that best suits. So it's very easily laid out, and it's only just important information. There's no fluff in here from what I can see.
Yeah, it's like... as much as we think is useful into it. So I think there's things about getting grants and like how to do the CAO and UCAS, isn't there?
Yeah, Cassie, what was the, how did you put this info together? Like, you know, because we're told sort of, we're given information, we're kind of told how to learn it, right?
Yeah.
But there's so much other stuff that's going on at the same time. So how did you make sure that this is good information? Where did you source it?
Okay, so we kind of knew ourselves where we wanted to look on. So, you know, everyone studies in different ways. It's really thing we all emphasise on. So we actually kind of went into, so what best platforms work for us? You know, personally, StudyClix is an incredible website for me. Another person on the Youth Council might use something else. So we were kind of putting and brainstorming, so what resources were best for us, and we were putting them all together. So again, Careers Portal was coming up. We were using the UCAS, and we were really actually trying to get in touch with them as well. So it was really brilliant to actually come together and say what best resources were for us, you know. So, you know, there's 35 members of us on the Youth Council. So that's maybe you were getting how many websites and different opinions from representatives throughout the county. So, yeah, it was really brilliant.
Yeah, and also to the use of QR codes is clever.
Yeah,
because it means that the document's not too heavy, but if you want to dig a little bit deeper, you can scan it.
Because
and away you go.
I'm even using the booklet because I'm kind of stuck between courses myself, because even say if you ask me when
I
did my work experience,
I'll give you some advice, right? What are the two things you're stuck between?
Law and politics or dietetics.
Ooh, what's the second one?
dietetics.
Yeah.
It's nutritional studies, so it's really about maybe working in a hospital environment. You know,
two goodies, actually, they're two good ones. I don't know, I can't give you any advice.
There we are. Like, you know, because when I did my work experience last year, I was saying maybe something completely different. But, you know, with that booklet, like, I'm scanning the QR codes, I'm going to careers portals, seeing what best suits me, as well picking my subjects. Mm. Like, that booklet, in my own opinion, like, it actually does give a lot of resources. That's what I would be saying to anyone going
into it. Well, it can focus the mind, can't it, Bridgene? Because, you know, your mind can be in all different directions. It's tough enough being a teenager, but then there's this pressure of the biggest event in your life potentially being you're leaving cert, and then the expectation to potentially leave home if that's what you choose to do, but also choose the right course because your parents or guardians might say, are you sure this is what you want to do?
Yeah.
You're going, I think it is, yeah. bullying too is sort of the third prong of priorities that have been established. And, you know, I don't have any information directly in front of me as to how that's being tackled. But I think even by talking about it, Bridgene, it's important.
Yeah. Well, we've been reviewing the new Beacon Ultra policy.
Sorry, I'm drinking coffee. Normally I'm here to help. Seeing how that can be applied, what can work best for students, how you can have that conversation. Yeah. Cassie, how did you come up with these three topics then? Is it by polling students?
Well, you see, Greg, say at our AGMs, we really all come together and we put in a vote. So we go around, we ask the students, what are issues that are really affecting you throughout, you know, going to school or just in your life? Because, you know, say a student from, I don't know, the area of Dunfanaghy would have a different issue than what I would have in Letterkenny. So we would all get to vote on the option of what we want to see improved on and what us as a youth council can do.
Mm.
So for our term, we are working on bullying, vaping and school stress. So again, like the Beacon Ultra, you know, that's really being introduced throughout the schools. So that's really important
as
well.
What is that, sorry?
Beacon Ultra. Mm. So Beacon Ultra is a programme that was introduced by the Department of Education, which is Be Kind.
Yeah.
So really it is, you know, coming out, how to talk to someone if you are facing bullying, who can you go to, a trusted adult or...
Yeah, because it's different now. You know, bullying going back a few generations might have been in the schoolyard or it could be... And I'm not saying that doesn't go on, but I do think schools are trying their best to try and make the environment not like that, but the stuff then the school's out of control, be it online bullying or targeting that way or what have you. And I think we need to be talking about that and not pretend it doesn't happen. Bridgene, how long are you deputy mayor for now? Is it one term? How long do you...
It's half the term, I think, isn't it?
Okay, and you're enjoying it?
Yeah, it's really good.
All right, good stuff. What's your favourite part about it? Is it like working on projects like this?
Yeah, it's nice just to get into groups and like hear everyone else's opinions.
Mm.
We would often have discussions like where we just get paper and markers and like just brainstorm different ideas about things.
Yeah, fantastic. Cassie, the study and college toolkit, who's it for? Is it broadly available or?
Yeah, so you can find it. It is going to be on our social media page as well. It's really exciting to say that there's going to be in all Donegal libraries across the county. So there's going to be a physical copy as well as an online resource. Again, it's really for anyone in secondary school. But personally, I'd recommend it for anyone who is in TY, think about subjects, or if you're doing third year and you're not doing TY, as well as fifth and sixth year, you know, do your research into what is UCAS, what is CEO, and all the grants.
I think whatever stage you are in secondary school, it just helps put your mind in certain directions, you know, and stuff. Right, okay, listen, brilliant stuff, Bridgene. Is there anything you want to add? I think we've covered all of the three angles to this.
I think so.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Bridgene. It's lovely to have you on. Deputy Mayor Bridgene Boner and Cassie Lamb, Donegal Youth Council Mayor. And people can keep an eye out for this. Is there anywhere to track sort of the general work of the Donegal Youth Council? So is there a portal or a website or what?
Yeah, so we have a website on the Corlin and Oak. You can go into Donegal. We also have a Facebook, Instagram, and I believe a TikTok page also. And it's
what,
just
you're not
Donegal.
On TikTok?
We are.
No, you not.
Me?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah. Well, you're asking, we might have a TikTok.
Hey, honestly, me and Sarah on the TikTok page. So, yeah, go ahead and check that out. Donegal Youth Council.
Well done. All right, Bridgine, thanks so much indeed. And Cassie, both of you did great. Thank you. That is the Donegal Youth Council Mayor and Deputy Mayor. And it's just to let you know the great work that's being led by young people in this county. The three areas they're focusing on is vaping and how you say no to vaping. Peer pressure is a big deal, and sometimes you want to find the right ways to sort of say, you know what, this is not a path I want to go down to. They're also continuing that conversation on bullying, as this is one of the three prongs of their key areas. And of course, this amazing study and college toolkit, which has been put together, which will be available in libraries going forward. And check out Donegal Youth Council's socials for more information on all of that. Mark your calendars, because here comes the girls. It's not that long now to the stage is taken at St Mary's Hall, that is, by the way, for the highly acclaimed theatre company Greens Paint Productions. They're pulling out all the stops for this year's performance of Calendar Girls the Musical. Mary Lane plays Annie in the show. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How
Thanks
are you?
Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Good, not so bad.
We also have Caroline Doherty, who is playing Marie.
Yeah, that's
how are you?
Me. Good, yes.
Good stuff.
Good.
What's this show like? Because, you know, Calendar Girls was, it doesn't happen all of the time. You can think of a handful of sort of films that landed but then stay forever.
Yeah.
Okay, and have longevity, and then can sort of have the popularity and interest to turn into a stage show as well.
Yeah.
That was the order. Maybe Calendar Girls was the stage show first.
No. It was right, made into a musical in 2018
okay.
now.
So. But everyone kind of is familiar with the story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, very familiar with stories. Story about love and loss and the supportive community around a grieving widow, which is Annie. And she lost her love, who is John Clark. And he was a real big hit in the community and everybody loved him. So then her and her best friend, Chris, decided they would do a calendar, and it was a big hit to raise money for a sofa. And they raised that much money that they could buy a whole wing in the hospital.
And it is, it's a lovely story, Mary, isn't it?
It is. It's a really, really beautiful story. And I think when people hear Calendar Girls, at first they go, oh, what? Oh, gosh. Oh, they're going to be naked or whatever. And they think it's nearly going to be a novelty. But the story is so...
Well, you don't have to get naked, do you?
No, no. You'll have
to come
and see.
You'll have
Caroline
to get your ticket.
You don't have to come
Caroline
out.
Caroline maybe does not. Yeah. But there are eight very, very, very brave ladies in the show.
Is that a statement in and of itself? Too about, I don't know, empowerment, control, I don't know.
It very much is. I mean, I've done this show before back in 2022 here in Letterkenny. I played a different role then, and I have to say it absolutely was one of the most uplifting, liberating, empowering experiences of my life.
Yeah.
It really, for me and all the other ladies
that were
in it then.
It's almost like a story within a story.
It is, 100%. Yeah. And even by the time that it gets as far as the scene where they create this calendar, you have come through so much life experience with each of these women. You see where they've come from, what their motivations are, what their hang-ups are. And by the time you're as far as the scene where we create the calendar, you are so rooting for each and every one of them that it's not an embarrassment.
But it's also not
absolutely yes.
It's not
go
in your
it.
Face either. It's so tastefully done.
It's very
part
tasteful.
Of the story, yeah, of course it is. But it's just, I could imagine there's people in the audience just want to whip their tops off as well. So, you know what? Do you know what I mean? Well,
yeah. Whip your bra off, ladies.
Well, I'm all right, the fellas.
Yeah.
So. This is actually based on a true story,
the
original film. And then there's some brilliant people were involved in the score.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Caroline?
Yeah, there is. There's so many people involved. There's 25 cast and there's 20 crews there is. Maria Fitzpatrick, she plays Chris with Annie, so she does with Maria. Who else?
Oh gosh, my goodness!
Bernie Doherty, you know Bernie was up here a few times with her choir of ages.
Yes, of course.
Bernie, she plays Cora. She's really fabulous. And Mary Grant, she plays Celia, and Jessie is played by Sue Mellon.
Yeah.
And then Carleen McGee, she plays
Ruth.
Yes.
So the original Calendar Girls stage production. Gary Barlow was involved
That's right.
Is that a different incarnation or the same?
No. So the film originally was written by a man called Tim Firth.
Okay.
And then after the film was made, it was then turned into a play without songs. So just a stage play that Tim Firth then he adapted it for stage, and then it became a third iteration, the musical, where Gary Barlow teamed up with Tim Firth to write the music, and the script was sort of changed again to make it work for a musical. So while it is largely similar to the film in its
the characters, there's
a lot of different themes in it that aren't explored in the film that make more sense on stage.
Yeah, and we talked about sort of, you know, the empowerment element of it and what have you, but also to what's very relatable to an audience with a show like this is really it's based off the fact of, you know, losing someone to a terminal illness, you know, and you can feel quite lonely in that situation too.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and this is, you can track, albeit them characters, their journey and relate to that and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's actually very interesting. This time, pretty much 10 years ago, I sat here with Sean Doherty, with my mother, just before she died, doing an interview. And it'll actually be her 10th anniversary on Saturday, on our final night of the
that
show.
That means something beyond
massively,
what we're talking about.
Enormously so. Yeah. So it really, and an awful lot of people connect with this story about all their life experiences. And, you know, a lot of the lyrics in the songs, you think, gosh, this must really have happened to that person because it's all so normal. Mm. You know, it's not the most theatrical and over the top musical. It's very real. And a lot of the dialogue, a lot of the songs, they're reality.
Well, it has to be because they're Yorkshire lasses, aren't they, originally, right? Yeah. So there's no airs and graces.
No.
Right?
Absolutely.
So you
we're in the Dales.
Yeah, so you can't sort of start getting all highfalutin now.
No.
Yeah. Right, so we're going to, I want to talk about, because there are charities benefiting from this run, is it, or was that a previous run?
No,
right
there,
So I'll come back to that and where it is and tickets and stuff. But to give us a sample of the music, Mary Lane is taken to the stage now as Annie. Do you want to just get into Kilimanjaro, or is there a setup for it, Mary?
The little bit of setup is that Caroline's character, Mary, has sort of put a bit of a spanner in the works about creating the calendar, and she's about to get us all into trouble. And this is a song where the grieving widow has decided that's not going to happen today. We're gonna get through it. Clarkie, are you getting that? A thing you went and started? Looks like it won't get done. So on the one hand, no city, but on the other, the will get spared the sight of me behind a currant bun. 'Cause God's eternal plan is there are Chris's and there's Annie's. In this life you're born possessing what it takes to get people going or get people cakes. See, now's the kind of time to do Tibet. And I'd love to be the girl who does Tibet. But I'm not. And yet. Take a three-piece suit the man you loved once wore. Take it in a bag to Oxfam. Then walk out the door. Take a pair of shoes that danced last New Year's Eve. Hand them to a grateful stranger. Turn around and leave. Then go and buy a bacon joint to have for tea. Convince yourself there's still some point in having tea. Make it through the next 5 minutes endlessly. And you know what
there is nothing in Nepal more scary than the step up from the kitchen to the hall. There's no Mount Kilimanjaro you can show me that compares to climbing solo with some cocoa up a flight of stairs. Yeah, go battle with piranhas in the jungles of Peru. Or harder, cook a meal for one you used to cook for two. You can walk the Kalahari with stilettos on your feet. Or harder, take a bus to town and sit down next to an empty seat. And if the girl who only bakes the cakes can cope with getting wedding rings back in an envelope, a day will come to say, okay, the sun has set, but it isn't yet, it isn't yet, it is not
Well done, Mary. I wasn't sure if there was just a "it isn't yet" coming at the end. Lovely song, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
I think it's called a through composed song. There's no chorus, is there?
No, that's so it. It just keeps
through composed.
Going.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. You don't get many songs like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very nice. And I would say the words, if people were listening to the words, will resonate there. Brilliant stuff. And that last note, how long is that?
That's a lot of bars.
I'll tell you one thing. It didn't waver. It didn't waver at all. That's just the type of quality that you can enjoy in the show, not just from Mary, but the entire crew are equally talented. Mary Lane singing Kilimanjaro from the character Annie as part of the Calendar Girls. Is it called The Girls or The Calendar Girl?
Calendar Girls, the musical.
The Calendar Girl, the musical, which starts...
Tonight.
Okay,
7:30 in Bunkrana.
One second. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The box office is open today from 12 to 2 and from 7 to 8 tonight as well.
All right, and there is some accommodation for wheelchair users,
yes,
there as well.
There
check ticketsource.com/greenpaint-productions for tickets as well. Can you turn up and buy a ticket on the night? Do we know?
You can, but not for Saturday night.
Not for Saturday night. Okay. It's sold out. Grease Paint Productions, go on, Grease Paint
Productions.
It's
the best place because then they have the seats and all that kind of stuff. Listen, thank you very
thank
much
you.
Indeed.
Thank
I
you
really
very much.
Do appreciate your time. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Today's 9 till noon show is brought to you by Heron Auto Donegal Town. Take a test drive in the new 261 range. With 5 exciting new models, a 7-year warranty, and finance from 0%, there's never been a better time to upgrade. Drive with confidence. Drive with Heron Auto.
Gach blian, fine heart or gavila kuikhe din in Erin Alsha Patoiga. Kaurian Skog Hostel Patoigalat, on Riska Govaifosa e Alaidu. Chlorig lahaig tralav tasola bowl screen Sarah Ashka, Mototu Ider Kaiga hocked Agashachto blian dish. Agasan tasol gent agasualia, Shola Rashi la Serfus, Agasjenuit tasol or Hianchin. Koramaj Eranolasu, Motogala tila tostolacha. Chlorig a new eg bowl screen punkai e no sergle octiaganoid, a karakuig, a kuigakuig, on HSE.
At Hidden Hearing, we believe you should keep hearing it all. Keep dancing. Keep celebrating. Keep laughing. Keep being you. Call 1-800-370-000 or go to hiddenhearing.ie and book a free hearing test today. Hidden Hearing, your hearing is our expertise.
Introducing Flow for Men, my new fragrance collection of products created to keep you feeling fresh and looking sharp. The ideal gift for the man in your life. Find Flow in pharmacies nationwide or online at flowbybo.com. Start every day with confidence.
Santa Claus speaking.
It's me, Santa, your trusty elf. I've got an urgent message from Cooney's Christmas Shop.
Oh, my golly goodness. What's happening at Cooney's?
Well, Santa, they've gone all out this year. Their Christmas decor is bigger and better than ever.
Visit Cooney's Christmas Shop, Letterkenny Retail Park, and feel the magic of Christmas. Santa approved.
At Blue Poppy Dentistry and Orthodontics, we specialise in creating confident, natural-looking smiles through expert composite bonding. Doctors Anna and Lydia combine precision and artistry to reshape, refine and refresh your smile with stunning results. It's just one of the many ways Blue Poppy puts your smile first. Call us on 07491 20355 or book online at bluepoppydental.com. Blue Poppy Dental and Orthodontics, Letterkenny and Donegal Town, where smiles shine brighter.
Make it a December to remember at McGrory's Cooled Off. Join us for Christmas party nights on Saturday, December 13th. An evening of festive dining and celebration with music from the Yetis. On New Year's Eve, ring in 2026 with great food, fun and music from Snapshot at McGrory's Cooled Off. Book now at McGrory's.ie or call 07493 79104 for details.
An absolute wonderful reaction, as you can imagine, to Mary's performance there. That singer took me somewhere else. It was a fine place. My God, what a talent. Gary, thanks for that. I'm glad you recognise it. Another, she's a fine singer. Wow, she's very, very good. You can see Mary and the rest of the crew who are equally fantastic on the stage in Buncrana tonight for that show, which I have no doubt will be attended really, really well, and so it should be. A caller says, fantastic to see these young people trying to combat the vaping issue, of course, and that's why it's so important we listen to the young people too, because they try and lead out on these things, and we as the grown-ups in the room, in inverted commas, can certainly support them. Are there any grants available to put cameras up around your house to help with security? I'm not sure, so I'm going to throw that out. Ask Roderick O'Gorman about economic migration. He promised the sun, moon and the stars. I'm going to dig out his tweet, because that's referenced quite a bit, and I'm not doubting it for a second. It's just that it has become sort of part of the online conversation that he recorded, or sorry, he put out a tweet in multiple languages. So I wouldn't mind just getting the text of that, because sometimes it's good to reference the source material. Re-giving birth and falling stats. We were given the message when young that we should get a good degree, job and home before building a family, but this takes time and now increasing money to purchase a home. This results in people being in the mid-30s before starting a family, which unfortunately can be too late for some. There needs to be a fundamental change in society to address this, plus cheaper and more accessible housing. Yeah, indeed. And it got to the point whereby you were almost convinced as a woman that, you know, you needed to be in a certain position before you had children. But of course, even if you do leave it late in life and it does work, you often probably go one or two. You know, I'm from a family of seven. Ashling's from a family of 14. You know, that's, 21? Average now, that would be around about 17 or 18 couples to produce the same amount of kids that two couples did, do you know? So, and you, like, we were all in a small house. So, like, you know, waiting until you have a house, I get that. But we were all in a small house. There was three of us per room. You know, my parents didn't wait until they had a bells and whistles house for us. Where do I get the doorbells at? Well, you can get them in local shops. It depends on the brand. I have the EasyViz ecosystem. So they're 60 quid on Amazon, and you need to get a memory card, which is another 8 quid, and you stick it inside of the receiver. It just means if someone rings my doorbell, my phone goes off, and it's a telephone call, a video telephone call, effectively.